Here tonight to get to speak to you guys this evening. Honestly, this to preach a message like this is kind of something I've wanted to do ever since I was a kid. So I'm definitely excited for tonight. Thankful for the opportunity. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for the opportunity to come together as your church tonight, to look into your word, the things that you have left for us to think about and consider. I just pray that we would have our minds and our hearts open to the word tonight and to what you have left for us. I just pray that I would communicate your word the way you would want it communicated. And I just pray that we would all be encouraged. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about purpose. You know, I'm a very goal-oriented type person. So I'm the type of person I will think far out ahead. I'll set goals for myself to try to motivate me, and really, if sometimes I struggle to find motivation if I don't do that. And I think that it ultimately comes down to that way for all of us. You know, if we don't have true purpose, we can won't work as hard as we could if we have real purpose. And you know, even sometimes every morning I wake up while the alarm goes off, I sort of wake up, turn it off, and I'll sit there and I'll kind of be half asleep, but my mind will try to think of something in that day to excite me to get up. Something I want to accomplish, something fun I'm going to do, something to get me up out of bed. And that's just the type of guy I am, so this is something that's been on my mind a lot. And so I think we all understand how important it is to have purpose. But that's not exactly what I want to hit on tonight. What I want to hit on is that to make sure you have the right purpose. Because I see a lot of people out in the world who actually have purpose. They're very motivated people. Some people work really, really hard and they accomplish things, but they run into a problem. Go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Starting in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. And see, when I read this verse, I'm not reading that as God telling you not to work hard. What I'm seeing there is, if God is not working with you and for you in your purpose, you can work really hard and it's still vain. You know, if God is not involved in your planning and in your purpose, you know, you're eating the bread of sorrows and it really is vain. And so there's two examples that I thought of that reminded me of this. One is from this book I'm reading right here. It's written by a guy named Brendan Burchard. He calls himself a performance coach. So basically he has come up with a lot. He teaches people habits and practices to put in place to be successful. So he talks about things like purpose and motivation and energy, attitude, things like that. And so one example was this lady who came to him to ask him for help. And her name is Kate. And this lady is actually super, super successful. She manages thousands of employees at one of the top companies in her industry. She's really well admired by everybody around her. She's got dozens of years of experience. You know, she makes a six-figure salary, so she's got plenty of money. She's got a husband, three kids, great family. And actually, the people around her like her. You know, unlike, you know, some people who are in those high positions, these people actually really like her. This guy, Brendan, he actually overheard some ladies talking about Kate when she wasn't there, talking behind her back, and they had nothing but positive things to say about her. And so this lady seems like, you know, she's got a pretty good hold on things, everything figured out, and yet she's coming to him for help. And I'm going to read you just a little bit of a section of this. It's just a conversation that they're having. I'm just kind of pick up in the middle. Basically, she's not really feeling content anymore. And so she's talking to Brendan. She says, I'm doing everything you're supposed to do, you know. They say be present and love your family. I try. Every day I try to be good for the kids and Mike. They say be effective. I have the to-do list, the plans, and the checklist to make it happen. I get stuff done. They say be passionate at work. I am. They say be persistent and resilient. I have been. I've risen through so much gender discrimination in my career. I've come a long way, and I'm happy, and no one has to feel sorry for me. But I just don't know, Brendan. He says, yes, I think you do know. Tell me. She pulls back in her chair as more tears break out. In all this running around and trying to do everything, I'm just starting to feel a little disconnected from it, sort of lost. He said, I nod and wait for what almost always comes next. I just don't know what I want anymore. And see, this is an example of this is where people end up. And this is a lady who's got what seems like it all, and yet she's coming to this point where she doesn't know what she wants anymore. Another example. Raise your hand if you've seen the movie Chariots of Fire. Nice. Good. Okay, nice. A lot of you have. So I'll just, for those of you who haven't seen it, I'll explain it really quick. Basically, it's a movie. The two main characters are some guys. I think it's based around the 1924 Olympics, I believe so. And so we've got Eric Little and Harold Abrahams. And these guys are runners. And it kind of shows their story side by side as they're going. So you've got Eric Little, who actually his first love is he does missionary work. That's his greatest passion, and he does that. I think it even he had been to China on a couple trips before this movie started. It implies that. And so this guy, he played rugby and he was good at it. So everybody said, "Dude, you're so fast. Why don't try out running?" And so he tries out and he's really fast. And so then Eric Little starts using that. And he almost uses it kind of as a platform to spread the gospel. And the whole time, he's just as content as can be. You know, they just portray him as a super happy guy. He loves running, loves sharing the gospel. Okay, and then you've got Harold Abrahams. He's just ultra, ultra competitive guy. Winning is what's important to him. Super driven, though, super motivated. So he gets invited to the Olympics. And his life becomes chasing that gold medal. Man, he wants that gold medal bad. And so he works his tail off. They show him every day he's training, pushing himself really hard. But he kind of seems miserable the whole time. You know, until he gets that gold medal, he's miserable without it. Okay, and he actually, he said something in that movie. So he ran the 100-meter dash for the fastest guys in the world. It takes about 10 seconds. And he said, I have 10 seconds to justify my very existence. And that's the way he thought. That was his mindset. That was his purpose. And he actually goes on to win that race. He wins a gold medal. Everything that his life was based around was getting that gold medal. And he goes out and he gets it. You'd think he'd be the happiest guy in the world. But actually, they kind of betray him. He almost doesn't know what to do now that he won. You know, one of his friends basically said he doesn't know how to handle it now. And you can see he almost feels empty and like he doesn't know what to do with himself now. Okay, now, this was a movie, so I don't know exactly if this is how these guys are in real life. But I just thought of that example, and then we've seen it with Kate here in real life. See, and this is where people come to when you don't have the right purpose. Okay, you know, you start chasing one thing, and even if you get it, though, you're never satisfied, and it just leads to the next thing. And the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And that's the way that life is down here. If you chase things here on this earth, you're never satisfied. And there's a reason for that. And that is because God created us, and His purpose for us is not found in this life. And so this is why we see people with emptiness. And maybe they're not even motivated. You know, they're pursuing the wrong things because they don't see any reward in this life that's really worth it. And from that perspective, sometimes I don't blame them. I mean, I talked about Harold Abrahams, so let's think about Olympic athletes for a second. They train every single day of the year, every single day, push themselves, discipline themselves. For an opportunity to compete that comes once every 4 years. And they devote their life to that. And they do it so that they can ultimately have the goal of feeling like they won. You know, they feel like they're the best. They conquered, they won, and for a gold medal about that big. I mean, that hardly even seems worth it to me, guys. I mean, they really discipline themselves hard. And so sometimes I think people are just unmotivated because they don't see a true purpose worth chasing. And so starting to transition towards us a little bit. So as hard as it is to discipline the body, you know, it is hard to make yourself go work out every day like the athletes do, to eat right. It is hard, but it's nothing compared to the battle against sin that we're called to fight. And so then the question is, if we have to fight that, what makes it worth it for us? And the difference is we have real purpose. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. And I'm going to get, verse 5 is the encouraging part, I'll get to that in a second. But first of all, I like the example the scripture uses here in verse 1 of a tent. Okay? You know, I have to tell a really, I have a couple stories to tell. But first of all, every time something about a tent comes up, I have to tell this one. So this was when Matthew, he was starting a new class. And the first day, professor was kind of introducing himself. And so he's telling him about himself. He's like, yeah, you know, after high school, I traveled the world for a little bit. I traveled the world and lived in a tent for 2 years. And then I went to the University of Montana, which is where people who live in tents for 2 years go. And I'm actually wearing the wrong colors tonight to tell that joke. But I had to tell it. But anyway, so it uses a tent. Example of a tent. It's temporal. Tents are not made to last at all. And man, our family has blown through so many tents. It's usually the men's Spanish Peaks that's the roughest on them. Me and Joseph Shanahan one time, we're just trying to open the door to the tent, just zip it up. And it got caught in the little lining that covers the zipper. And you can get that out, but for some reason we just thought that if we kind of powered through, that it would just come out. So man, we got that thing so stuck that it was not coming undone. And so then the tent door is stuck halfway open. And there's no way to fix it. So we ruined that tent. I remember my dad was not happy about that one at all. Brand new tent. And so it doesn't take very many experiences to realize tents not made to last at all. And this is what this calls our house. If the earthly tent, which our house is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Jump down to verse 4, for indeed while we are in this tent we groan, being burdened because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. And guys, I think the reason it's using that in verse 1, talking about our house here as a tent, is trying to communicate that God's purpose for us is not down here on this earth. That is not where his purpose for us is found. When it's talking about longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, and then in verse 4 it says, we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. The purpose that's talking about in verse 5 is eternal life. That's God's purpose for us, is eternal life. Nothing down here on this earth. And, you know, we see that it says, indeed in this house we groan. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. And again, we see groaning within ourselves. And then at the end, the redemption of our body. That's the purpose that we're waiting for. You know, we've seen twice, you know, groaning within ourselves. I just think of sometimes this physical body, the pain that it can feel. You know, don't you guys ever ask why it is so hard to get out of bed in the morning? Seriously. I mean, like, why is that so hard? Why does the body hurt? Why does it get so tired? Aches. You know, our mind gets tired. Our emotions are hard to keep in check. That's all a reminder to us that His purpose for us is not found in this body. The redemption of our body, that's the purpose. I mean, we cannot wait until that day we get to trade this body in for the spiritual one. And I'm a young guy. You know, my body doesn't ache all that bad. You know, I don't necessarily feel like it's on the serious decline yet, but I'm sure if I asked Mr. Simpson or Mr. Wilson, I mean, they would be pretty clear. They would be pretty clear that this body is not made to last. And so again, the pain that we have to go through is always a reminder to try to get us to look up, to look forward. And the reality is, you know, suffering in this life is always going to come. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be pain in this life. So suffer with a purpose. Suffer with a real purpose. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And see, what an encouraging verse that is. Guys, the light affliction is worth it when you have real purpose. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 24, talking about Moses. It says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Man, what an example that is. You know, he was looking to the reward, to the real purpose. Back to Romans chapter 8. I think this is one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible for the Christian. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Guys, this life is so short. If you think about this life, I've done the example with the kids where you, with the tape measure, and you say, okay, try to make your life 1 inch, and you've got all the stuff in between. Okay, and that's the length of your life. And then as eternity goes on, and you start pulling the tape measure out, your life is so short. And you can pull that tape measure for forever, and then look at it, and that inch looks like nothing. You know, for an eternity of the glory that is to be revealed to us, this life, whatever it takes, it is worth it, guys. I mean, how encouraging is that for us? No matter the suffering you go through, no matter the pain, it is worth it. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going back there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. And guys, that's us right there. We desire the purpose that God has for us, not a purpose down here on this earth that doesn't satisfy, that's temporal. We desire the purpose that God has for us. And, you know, think about, have you guys ever had the chance to see there's some really amazing houses out there. There's one, I think on the drive from Billings to Bozeman, there's one kind of down in a valley somewhere that it's super nice. And sometimes I think, man, if me and my family and my friends could just kind of live there for forever, you know, that'd be pretty nice. But guys, God has prepared a city for us. A city made by God. I mean, that eternal life in that, I mean, that is a purpose worth suffering for. Go to 1 Corinthians. Actually, wait, no, hold on. Let's jump down. Verse 37 in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy. You know, I've read that verse before, and that's just something that I've always wanted to be said about me. And this is us as Christians. You know, don't you want to be called the men and women of whom the world was not even worthy? You know, no purpose down here, no reward down here is worthy. The only thing worthy for us is a city made by God. And that is a real purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's go there now. First Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 53. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Guys, thinking about our reward is going to be so great. You know, there's going to come a day when we who are perishable get to put on the imperishable. And we who are mortal, we get to put on immortality. And then will come about the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Man, guys, that is a reward worth doing whatever it takes. That is a true purpose. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And see, guys, this is really the great thing about God's purpose for us. Every other purpose on here that you could find, it all ends in death. You know, no other purpose can beat death. It always ends. God's purpose for us, death has no power over that. His plan for us of eternal life, death cannot touch that. And that, like as I've said, that is something that is worth suffering for. Whatever it takes, that's the purpose we want. And so, I want to encourage us tonight. You know, maybe in our life, we are going through some struggles right now. Maybe we feel some pain. And, you know, maybe we are getting a little worn down. Maybe we can feel like that. Guys, remember your real purpose. Your true purpose, eternal life, a city made by God for us. Our reward's going to be great. Let's go to Revelation. Chapter 22. In verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. And guys, Jesus' reward, it's going to be with him. And that's going to be for us if we follow the true purpose. So I want to encourage us tonight, let's remember our real purpose, eternal life. You know, let's not get too worried about chasing the things down here that never lead to being satisfied. You know, stick to the purpose that God has for us. Eternal life, city made by God for us. And so whatever sufferings you got to go through, guys, it will be so worth it. It'll be so worth it. So hopefully that was an encouragement to all of us tonight. So let's take that throughout our week. Thanks for your attention tonight.